Season 2, Episode 1 of What's Upon a Kill Team, the podcast about narrative play in Warhammer 40k Kill Team. I'm Jason.
And I'm Sean, and we want to talk to you about building stories around the gameplay in this grim, dark, terrible universe. In this episode, we definitively rate all of the current bespoke kill teams on how much sense it makes that they're running around a Space Hulk. How Space Hulk-y are they? I think it's worth saying, Season 2, a new year, new Once Upon a Kill Team.
No, who had money on us making it into a second year? Ladbrokes did not have us on more than evens, I think. That's good. It's great. Haven't we done well? 20 episodes.
I think so. And it's all 20 episodes in 12 months is pretty big.
It's all solid gold as well. Anyway, listeners, if you've been downloading us and giving this stuff a listen, then we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Here's to another year.
Keep them rolling.
Well, we may have a few changes coming into Season 2, but one thing that I think is going to be a cornerstone of this cast is Hobby Corner. So, my man, what have you been getting up to?
I've been conquering my fears, and it sounds much more grandiose than it is.
I've got this vision of you on a sort of looking over a cliff edge or something. Or...
Leap of faith. Well, it felt like that. I put it off for weeks. But I, after my Siege Studios Green Stuff workshop, I then didn't pick it up really. And I've had this model that I've wanted, like, his arm to be on fire, because it's going to be my Balefire Acolyte stand-in, but it's like this possessed Space Marine. I wanted his arm to be on fire, but I couldn't find any good arms that were on fire that were big enough. So I've had to Green Stuff these flames coming up from the top of his hand up to his elbow and everything. It's probably going to need another pass, but I'm fairly happy for it at the moment. Well, there's surprisingly few tutorials on how to Green Stuff fire on YouTube.
I salute you. I haven't Green Stuffed since I did the Phobos guy's cloaks. So, I should have another go at that. I did find it quite fun. But flames, that is dead cool. It feels another example of in 40k how health and safety third. You know, they can't. Come on, guys. Can we not set fire to ourselves? So that's really nice. That sounds really good.
Yeah. I'm really happy. I've got mental visions of him throwing molten brass at his enemies. So,
well,
that's because Khorne's not only the god of blood. They got a brass and fire, so.
But not magic.
Not magic. This isn't magic.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Or whatever.
I've also been painting up my Moritat that I've been banging on about these last couple of episodes. And he's really shaping up nicely. It's been an exercise in brush control with all these fiddly artificer. He's very decorated in his armor.
This is double plasma pistol guy, right?
Double plasma pistol guy, exactly.
He looks pretty badass. I love it.
Yeah. So I'm hoping when he is finished and painted up, that he will, despite being the complete opposite of the colour scheme to everyone else in the warband, he'll still fit in. That's my fingers crossed at the moment. That's it. That's what I've been up to, really. That's all I've managed to squeeze in. But you've been ticking boxes and completing projects left, right, and centre.
Yeah, I'm afraid to tell you, you're nicked, me old China, because I have finished painting the Exaction Squad, the Arbites, the Arbites Lemonade, as we sometimes call it. if anyone remembers, this was going to be my attempt to do white armour. One of my hobby goals for the year was to try and get that looking half decent, at least to my own eyes, and I'm very pleasantly, you know, surprised and pleased to say I think I've done it, really. They look really nice. They've got a bit of a stormtrooper look, sort of white armor and sort of black under clothes, maybe?
Yeah.
Clothes? And I've had some very lovely comments from the pictures I've put on the Insta. Now, of course, I've made everybody, or given everybody the name of a British TV detective. And the one consistently disappointing note I've had feedback on is, where is Inspector Frost? There's no Inspector Frost. I did also have a good shout for Cagney and Lacey. Now, Cagney and Lacey are cool, but they're not British.
What about Inspector Gadget? That's more my speed.
Inspector Gadget. Is he a real inspector? Is he a real police officer?
They let him solve crimes, so qualifications or not.
Is that the one where the dog always basically solves everything? Or the dog?
Yeah, pretty much,
or the girl. That's it, and he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's his daughter.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. And I've got Bodie and Doyle from one of my favourite shows as a kid, The Professionals. and if anybody, you know, is looking through YouTube, look up The Professionals theme tune. It's got one of the best 70s twangy guitar theme tunes ever. So look that up, folk. Anyway, really, really super pleased with how the Pop-Eaters have turned out. And if that wasn't enough, I've made a start on the Pop-Eaters Riot Control Sentinel, which, this works brilliantly on a podcast. I'll show you on the camera.
Oh, I do it all the time. Oh, look at that.
So this is a, you know, white Sentinel with blue bits on. And Sean's been helping me with a mission to have the Sentinel as a non-player character with not quite non-lethal weapons, but less lethal weapons, like a water cannon and tear gas and a Weber. So
stuff that will stop you in your tracks without necessarily killing you.
Yeah. So I really like the idea of a mission where, so it's not a boss battle because he's not very killy, but he is annoying. A lot of stun on this Sentinel. Anyway, so I should have that done in a week or so. So I'm really, you know, looking forward to having a go at that mission, maybe. Now, games, you've not been great on this in past episodes, but I feel you're going to come good.
I've been putting the work in, and I've managed to break through some of the local gamers here in Guildford, and I've made my first kill team friend, and we've had two games now since.
Excuse me.
Made my first Guildford kill team
Thank
friend.
Thank God. All right.
You're fine. although next episode will be hosted by me and Will, so sorry, Jason. he was who I've been having a go against with. He's been bringing his void scarred corsairs, and I've been not so subtly flattening them with legionaries, which has been really fun. Our first game was on Into the Dark, because he's got a tournament at Warhammer World that he's been practicing, and he'd never played Into the Dark before, so we cracked out the Guildford Games Club's copy of the boarding actions and used half of the terrain for that, for our Into the Dark board. And then the next game that we had was on all of Will's own terrain, and it was like some of the MDF mad wargaming terrain. It's all very Sector Imperialis inspired, but legally different. wooden terrain that Will's added bits and greebles to make it suitably banged up and lots of exposed cabling and everything. But simultaneously, all these overgrown ruins, but we've also got like this, it's like an urban jungle. My point of reference is in Legend, when the city is like overgrown and everything.
Yeah,
so.
Love it.
And it was really cool to play through some natural. We used big trees as like heavy cover, and some little grassy bushes as light cover and everything. It was really good fun.
A grassy bush
keeping out anything. So, well, I only get to maintain the cover save. It doesn't block the bullets.
That's true. Okay. Yeah, let's not.
It's just whether or not you can see me.
Let's not get into how ridiculously overpowered weapons in this universe really should be. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's been really good fun and has me suitably excited if the rumours for Season 3 of Kill Team are to go jungle side to play with some more natural terrain rather than the built up, the mechanical nature of the Galar-Dark or all of the Imperial terrain that we've had beforehand.
Right, I know this is interrupting, but and I haven't prepped you for this, but do we want to have a private bet on whether jungle is going to be in Season 3 or not? Because I think this is just wishful thinking.
Oh, completely.
So,
it's not founded on anything, I don't think. Someone's gone, you know what would be cool? These two things on this terrain. And everyone's gone like, that would be cool.
Yeah, because the track record of Games Workshop actually delivering the thing that would make most sense, stroke, everybody actually wants, just sounds minimal. Right, so you're not willing to put, you know, a bet down.
I'll put a bet down, but I have a feeling we're going to agree. So.
Oh, I was hoping that you would be absolutely adamant that it would be jungle.
I will. Yes, it will be jungle. It's going to be Catachan versus Striking Scorpions. You heard it here. Probably not first, but certainly last.
Okay, it's going to be one point of your choice and a chaser.
Ooh.
To the winner. There we go.
That works for me, because I've never seen you drink.
Yeah, I don't drink very much, but I'll only drink with my friend.
On this instance.
Only drink with my friends, Sean. After what you just said, yes, new friends.
Emotional damage.
Have you had any other games?
No. Nick and I were meant to have one yesterday, but everywhere that we tried to ring to book a table was fully booked.
Ever. Damn you, popularity of games.
Bloody board games filling up everything. I have had the excitement. I've downloaded and set up Tabletop Simulator now, just so I can play with my friends at a convenient time.
Yeah, I think I don't have a computer that wouldn't melt the TTS, I think. But
it's proved quite light so far. I think your laptop still might be able to handle it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Also, I'm a kind of in-person.
Ideally, I would be as well.
Yeah. Ah, well, one day. Yeah, okay. Well, I feel like we swapped places, because normally I've usually got a hat full of games to tell you about. But I've only got one today. I played the fantastic Anthony from the LWG casual group. He brought some Nurgle legionaries. So that's what everybody plays. But, you know, they were tough as heck, as you can imagine. And I put them against my Fastalker Kinband. And against all the odds, I won. But like all the best games, it was pretty close. I think we were very far off on VP, and I think we both had like a couple of operatives left by the end. Special mention to my Bowman, who had his sort of crack grenade things get quite a few nice hits in.
He's got a bow and arrow with grenades on the tips, isn't he?
Yeah, he can either do that to a frag arrow, a crack arrow. They're called something else, of course. I think it's Voltaic arrow and something else. And then he's got a silent arrow. So he's got a bag of tricks. He is Hawkeye from your
Marvel.
Very
cool.
Anyway, great game. Super lovely guy. Be very happy to give him another go. Soon. But that's it for games that I've played since last time. But listeners, we have an exciting thing to look forward to in the future. So what with Sean moving out to the sticks and not being a sea boy no more, yeah, we sort of wondered how we're going to get games in. I think the trick is that we'll do occasional whole days of gaming.
Yeah.
And, yeah, do you want to tell them about the idea that we've got?
Yeah, so we had the idea of playing through the narrative missions for the train sets that we've got a hold of between ourselves, and I'm sure between the narrative group and everything, we can share stuff around. I think we're going to start off with Morok, and then we're just going to start with Mission 1-1 and work our way through them. I think if we manage to squeeze in three, maybe four in a day, four might be a bit much, but I think three will be manageable. And we just play through the story that's been written and see how it develops it before us.
Yeah, there's an Imperial base. I'm thinking of bringing the Vetguard that I recently painted up, the Cadian style Vetguard. Have you settled on who you might want to bring to that party?
I haven't settled on anyone yet. I've got too many maybes. I don't want to bring my legionaries against them, because I'm already playing them in our other campaign. So I've got a whole slew of Death Watch adjacent models. So I had the idea that I could run some Blade Guard veterans as some custodies, and just have four big shielded guys running around trying to, I don't know,
ruin someone's day.
Yeah. Or I might make a whole new team just for it.
That'd be exciting. Although,
yeah,
I think I would personally try and edge you towards the Phobos, who are now the best team in the game, as we all know.
I've already got the models then. Maybe I'll play them.
Yeah, because they're quite a... Although, I think we asked recently the question, is someone sneaky or killy? And I think you might be killy.
Yeah, I think I'm killy. But maybe I can make a sneaky team work for me as well.
They do mission actions for free. Can't be there. It's like a freebie of freebies. Anyway, folks, look out for that. So this is something we're really looking forward to, because this is not a style of game that we've played so far, where we've just had two teams playing mission after mission of a whole big box. So that'd be, you know, I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, it'll be whether we tell you about them as we do with these games, or whether we do like a bit of narrative write up. That could be cool,
yes,
as well.
I'd be for that.
Maybe a bit of the two. Yeah.
A bit of that. That's great. Okay. Well, next up in the episode, we have team backgrounds. Now, who do we have?
We have our good friend Nimrod, and this is the background for his Farstalker Kinband, the Catlan crew.
Okay, strap in. There's only so much you can handle before it bursts out. Gouge can handle the orange heat pounding in his head. They moved in the shade of the caravan's canopy, but the charred ground threw the heat back, smothering them. The Narlok's backs slickened with perspiration. The Forerunner groaned as he patted its shriveled hydration sacs. Grimy sweat collected and dripped from his quills onto the jute hammocks.
When they crested the canyon, the dust had come up. But Gouge could handle the stinging red sand caking his nostrils. They wrapped their leather bandanas over their beaks. He was proud that Forex was protecting him again, like in so many battles past, his remains not wasted. He could barely see through the scratched slits of his visor, tinting the swirling sand purple, but no one could see them either, and under the cover he could walk on, hearing the narquil's quiet song muttered under a brother's breath.
And when they finally collapsed with the sun after its 27-hour trek, churning the sodden sky, the frost of night settling on their manes, the huge crystals of this forsaken desert throwing a distorted reflection of the warp-blighted stars above. Gouge could stand the cold, huddling close and slowly chewing the last hearthworms and stretching out the meager warmth they emitted as his incisors broke their flesh.
He woke up with a kick, Zik retching with a surprised yowl from his sudden movement, before the hound coiled back against him and fell asleep. The gnawing absence of Arzurk he couldn't handle. Ever since he was taken by those wretched monsters, the looks of the rest of the Narquil gave him, the look Arzurk's twin Ezurk gave him, of trust dwindling. That he couldn't handle, but the mission can wait. Hell, this entire planet can be wiped out for all he cared. But Kin was first and foremost. They will get back Arzurk, alive or as fresh, to integrate back into the Kinbad as they can get his remains.
Ooh. Integrate back into the Kinbad. I think that's a real flavour of a bit of crude there. I love it. I love it.
From Xenos mentality.
Thanks, Nimrod. This is the part of the show where we would normally have a word from our sponsor. However, we have no sponsor for today's show. So this is just a reminder that if you would like to sponsor the show, do get in touch. We can be got through our Instagram, which is Once Upon a Kill Team. And yeah, let us know. And you may be able to get a future sponsor post and another episode.
It'll be sweet. Finally, we won't have to make up our own sponsors.
They can be real. Well, they can also make them up and just send them in.
Yeah, that works as well.
Right.
That's true.
Without any further ado, let's get to the main topic of the show. It's what everyone's been waiting for. So, in one of our earliest ever episodes, was it three? Three, maybe? We asked
thereabouts
the question, the everlasting question of who are the most kill teamiest kill teams, and we gave the definitive list, except
no one's argued
some
it.
Of them. and in that, if anyone remembers, the essence of Kill Team appeared to be very much, if you read the fluff, it was all very much about being special ops, elites, behind the lines, guerrilla type teams. However, with Season 2, they introduced boarding actions and exploring spacecraft, and in particular space hulks. And that's not the same as spec ops, behind the lines type of thing. So we think there are some teams make a lot of narrative sense to be wandering around a space hulk, and there's others don't really make much sense at all. And as we're all about narrative here, we're all about the story and the background and the how much beautiful fluff we can make up. We were going to have a chat about which of these kill teams are the space hulkiest. Now, before we get to that, and because we now know all of the teams that are coming for the Into the Dark season, I think this is probably not a bad time to give our feelings about Into the Dark, really. How have you felt about it, Sean, both lore-wise and game-wise?
I have absolutely loved the premise. The Space Hulk game has always been a board game that I've looked from afar, either just missing its release and never being able to afford however much they're selling it on eBay for. So this gets to be a pretty close facsimile of it. All I'm waiting for is getting my Terminator kill team, and then we can play it out for real. The the idea that all these different teams are kind of exploring the mishmash of ships that have kind of been smashed together by warp magic into this cosmic dust ball that's the size of a planet is completely believable. All these different teams and everything coming from all different walks of life and coalescing in one place. Why not? Who knows what they've picked up on it, on its blipping in and out of real and warp space. They could be there of their own choice, or they may have just been brought along for the ride, just trying to survive the horrors that dwell within. And I think I just made it sound really cool.
Let's go.
Because I think the reality is... let's go. The reality is, I got bored of it pretty swiftly. When we didn't get different terrain in each box, or like... I compare it to the Space Hulk Tactics video game. And you played through an Imperial spaceship, an Eldar spaceship, and then an Orc spaceship. And I didn't get any further than that because it was too difficult, so there may be more past that point as well. But the fact that they didn't, like, draw on that for future boxes, like, for Soul Shackle, where's my Drukhari fighting pits in the depths of one of their raiding parties or something? Like, I think that would have been... It would have been really cool. And there's nothing stopping people hobbying the hell out of it. I mean, I'm making my own version of the terrain myself. Although I think it's probably going to be a lot less functional. But it'll look nice.
Well, that's pretty strong words there. Now, if we were the BBC, obviously I'd come in with the opposite view. However, I think... I mean, to start with, narrative-wise, story-wise, I am 200% on for this whole Galadar Space Hulk thing. I was already looking at trying to make some homebrew boarding action rules even before we knew we were getting it. So I doubt there were many people out there happier than I that we were going to get sort of this sort of boarding action type missions. Yeah. Absolutely love it. And I tell you what, I rewatched Aliens recently, the second movie, and I just kept thinking, oh my god, this is just Galadark. It's like, you know, trapped in corridors with scary monsters chasing you. It definitely gave me the vibe. So, yeah, almost nobody keener. And then I got the box, and then I had to build and paint the terrain. Now, this is the first down point for me, because if anyone else has done it, you have to file down the tabs, you have to mask them off when you spray them. Oh my god. And then, yeah, so just even constructing the terrain. I love building terrain. This was no fun, or not a lot of fun. There's too much of it.
A bit of a chore.
On top of that, if you actually want to play a game of it, you have to... Well, you obviously have to put it together, but it's no small feat working out how to put these together, which wouldn't be so bad if, and to be honest, I didn't sand down my tabs as much as they needed to, and it's still a bit creaky trying to put it together. So I'm kind of put off suggesting an Into the Dark game just because I don't really want to put it together. And
it's
by the
nearly
way,
twice the setup time.
Don't get me wrong, I think it looks great. I think it looks brilliant. In fact, it's quite nice to set it up if you're photographing your miniatures, because it looks, what an amazing background. Very atmospheric. So, you know, down point one, building it. Down point two, putting it together before every game. And this one's more me. I just don't think I'm very good on it. I think I'm particularly rubbish on Into the Dark, and I've just had quite a few games, and I realize this, like, before everyone writes in or is shouting at their phone or whatever, this is me. I've bunched up people. Although sometimes I think you can't not bunch up people.
That's the thing, it's all claustrophobic
then,
confines, isn't it?
Then
people are going to get,
like,
bunched.
Five blokes get flamed. So, yeah, it's totally me, vibe not been very, I don't feel I've been very good. And although it's a bit of extra cognitive load, I do sort of quite like going up and down, you know, vantage points and things. You know, and when I finally had a team that had a grapnel launcher, that's when I started playing more Into the Dark, which felt was a bit useless. Anyway, having said that, I don't want to be too negative here. I actually think what GW have done with the rules is good. You know, their opening hatches, the guard thing.
Yeah.
I think that's all legit excellent. I don't think I've got very many qualms with the actual rules themselves. Narratively, of course, I can't tell you how disappointed I am that characters who are supposed to be able to cut through walls, breach through walls,
explicitly.
Yeah,
can't.
Now I realise game wise why, you know, I'm not being too mean. I realise game wise why, but then don't have someone called a breacher. Don't have someone. Oh, no, actually, yeah. The breacher you can give a pass to, because that was designed probably before Into the Tower was thought of, but the hatch cutter.
Well, didn't they showcase in the newest box for the Into the Dark series that they will have some breachable walls?
I think so. I've got a feeling you've got to do some AP2 melting or something. You've got to AP2 it. I don't know.
So still not interacting with your writhing ingress,
no.
Or
I guess that's the only plus point. I don't think the Wormblade are really designed for, bearing in mind they should be. They should be the people going in and out corridors. But I don't think game wise they're really very suited to Into the Dark, and thankfully I'd moved on from them. But a bit plus and a bit minus there. Now I'll tell you what I really, which is interesting, you talked about you know, doing your own terrain. What I've come to the conclusion, as lovely as it does look, it does look really nice. The walls themselves. What I really want, and I've almost been half tempted just to make myself, is just some cardboard walls on maybe plastic or cardboard stands. And then you could just in minutes, minutes in single digits, put the whole thing together. No, it wouldn't look as great, probably, but it would play, I don't know, you'd just be up and running a lot quicker. But I'm not sure this just isn't GW's thing to low tech it.
No, not anymore. I do remember the White Dwarfs of the 90s, where everyone would make their own terrain out of toilet paper tubes and styrofoam food packaging.
The best of times. And then like yourself, I was fully, in fact, I'm sure if people here may well have listened to where we reviewed the Into the Dark box, how enthusiastic were we for the idea of having a Tyranid ship? Oh my God, imagine that. That would have been the best. And like you say, you know, these other, you know, different types of ship to explore. And I kind of thought they led us a little bit into inferring that that might be the case. And I don't know, just led us to a tiny bit of disappointment. But, you know, GW is a poor company. They can't afford to start chucking money at new molds around.
Especially when it would definitely increase sales if people knew they were getting something new and different every time.
I'm not normally a GW basher. I generally think they do a pretty, you know, they are a business and they do a job. But there we go.
By all means, if they do want to send us any review copies of anything, we'll be more than happy to give a glowing review.
Well, it's an absolutely independent, fair review.
Exactly.
Anyway. Yes, so the ups and downs of the Into the Dark season, I'm at least interested to see what the last two teams are going to do rules-wise. I'm very intrigued to see what these beastmen are going to do. They look, are they going to get massacred because they don't have very many range weapons? But I'm sure there are some tricks that they will be able to pull Anyway, yeah. So job pack. We got a job pack.
Exactly. I'm excited. So we've now had the reveal of our last Into the Dark box. The Gallo Fall has been announced. And finally, after all our supposition, us saying it's never going to happen, the squats have turned up. So it's time to consider how surprised you are that a particular kill team was walking around the corridors of the Space Hulk. Of course, it's always possible to find a reason for any faction to be there if we try hard enough. However, where does it make the most and least sense?
Okay, so I've crunched the numbers. I've rigorously reviewed this. There's been an audit. So without a shadow of a doubt, this is going to be the definitive list and not just my arbitrary decision. I want to make that clear. But I have come up with some, what I think are some criteria. Why are you on a Space Hulk, right? So first up, I've got you're looting, you're nicking stuff, you're after some gear, you're a thief, you're quote unquote
Indiana Jones
liberating
tomb robber.
Some stuff that was unattended. Indiana Jones. Yeah, there could be the a ball a
this belongs in a museum.
this belongs on my planet. Yeah. So there are quite a few teams out there that whose raison d'etre is nicking stuff, and that's legit reason for being on a Space Hulk. Well, actually, legit's the wrong word, isn't it? you can understand. Right. Okay, so reason two,
yes.
You're hiding from something or someone. Okay, you don't want to be found. And where you don't want to be found? On a ship that goes in and out of the warp. That's where you want to get away from it all. You want to avoid prying eyes. Possibly official eyes. So, are you hiding from something? I think this is another reason why you might be there. Now, on the other side of that coin, you're hunting something. You're tracking something. You're looking for somebody. You're a pursuer, a hunter, if you will. Those are reasons to be there. And lastly, it's your home. It's your pad. It's your crib. You live here. You're trapped here. Your ship has been somehow amalgamated with this thing. And yeah, this is what you call home now. Those are my sort of four basic.
That's a really romantic way of describing
honey,
it.
Look, the car doesn't work anymore, but we found this scrapyard.
Space Hulk, sweet Space Hulk.
So, that's what's in my mind when I'm thinking. And of course, we've gone with our normal, you know, ranking. Not Space Hulky, Space Hulky, and Super Space Hulky. Okay, and I've made the...
Listeners, you are forgiven if you can't keep up with the official jargon.
Yeah, look, when you're
highly technical,
you're
so.
In my field, you know, you've got to use the big words. So we made the possibly controversial decision, arguably, to ignore the compendium, sorry, Death Watch, they're rubbish, and just look at the 23 bespoke teams, and how Space Hulky they are.
That's enough.
And just in case anyone's going, hold on a minute, were you going to do something similar for kill teams? Yeah, but it's going to be later in the year, so. Hold on to your butts. Here we go. Right. right, I'm going to start off the list.
Are these
in reverse
order for you?
But behind number 23,
okay.
There are the factions that just aren't with us. Okay? where the holy flip are Terminators. Why have we got a bloody Space Hulk? I wouldn't mind if they were going to, like, right, we're just never going to do Terminators. But no, they've teased us with some new models, but not in the Into the Dark season. Yep. So, I mean, I've got to be honest, I'm still pretty, think it's low chance that there ever will be an official Terminator kill team. However, but
really?
Maybe. I mean, maybe. Well, you know, possibly. But,
yeah.
But why the heck have we not got them already? Bearing in mind the theme of this season. Anyway, so we're Terminators. Now, whilst there are Gene Stealers in the compendium, you could make an all Gene Stealer team. But where's our Tyranid Bespoke team? Now, it does look like we're probably going to get one in the summer, maybe. But then we thought there'd be squats immediately after they launched. And we were disappointed there, weren't we? Okay, so the matchup everybody thought should probably be the opening box of Into the Dark. Gene Stealers v Terminators, somehow not there. And GW, if you're listening, I really just also want the regular Space Hulk game. Just bring...
Right. Yeah, please. And just remake it.
This is a name check out there to our good friend Emmanuel. Where are the Orc freebooters? You want to nick stuff? These are your boys. Oh my God, we need... I don't know. I mean, I'd be so on for this team. But, you know, I do want the official version. And again, if you were going to do it, and I think, you know, it could be the rival to the funnest kill team would be the Orc freebooters, surely. Not only are you orcs, but you're bloody pirates.
Yeah.
Why are they pirates? Because they are. Right. Right. So those are the factions that didn't even make the list because they don't exist, but should have been. I don't know if you can think of any that should have been there.
I would love some and all like
Ooh.
Servitor team of ship's crew. It'd be close to the Elysian Star Striders, I think, but all like combat servitors, or you know, you've got someone that's literally designated for washing down floors, and now they have to go into combat. I think that'd be really cool, like a ship's crew team
with a power sword or something.
Yeah, he's had to replace his automatic mop with a chainsaw.
Okay, now do the Top of the Pops music. Insert Top of the Pops music. In at 23, we've got the least likely team to really find on a... I mean, if this was real, which obviously is ridiculous, it would be your Pathfinders. Pathfinders, they're literally the least appropriate team, I would say.
Corridors aren't wide enough for those sniper rifles.
No. And the Tau boys have got breaches themselves, haven't they? They do. That's who you'd send in, or a crisis battle suit or something. Anyway, Pathfinders shouldn't be on a Space Hulk. Now, this breaks my heart. In at 22, and Emmanuel agreed, Commandos. Right.
Yeah.
If Emmanuel says it, it's
law.
Going to be true.
Yeah.
It's with canon.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love the Commandos. If fans of the podcast will know that they're our favourites, but not an Into the Dark type of team. These are the behind the lines guys. These aren't wandering around a Space Hulk guys.
They're for urban warfare.
Yeah. And so that's 22. In at 21, another podcast person favourite, Phobos Strike Team.
Okay.
What the hell would they be doing on there? They'd be they're the behind the line terror troops.
That's true.
Don't think they should go in there. So, despite liking them, not Space Hulky. Right, and then we got in at 20, we got Novitiates. Now, I've got a problem with Novitiates anyway by sending in the
trainees.
The trainees. Who are better than the grown-ups.
Don't question it.
I can't help myself. And I actually like, I really like the Sisters of Battle because they're so crazy religious nuns with guns and all that sort of thing. But novitiates make no sense. And you definitely wouldn't want to put your trainees in that kind of situation. A situation where you'd want to send Terminators, right? That's my benchmark, right? If you're the Imperium, let's rock in a few Terminators here, or should we send the trainees off of their tea break?
That's a it's an abundance of confidence, I think, is a...
Well, that's a lot of faith to put into a team.
Whoa.
Did you see what I did there? All right. Now, I like to have a bit of controversy in every list, and I don't know why I have it in for them, but Hunter Clade, Adeptus Mechanicus, this one got me in trouble last time, but I suppose they could be looking for stuff.
Yeah, they're looters, aren't they? Hunting and tracking as well. Less so, but scavenging and looting, definitely.
They build the stuff. They need to scavenge nothing.
Yeah, but they don't innovate. They need to explore old things to rediscover them, to mass make.
I'm going to get that Magos guy right into me again.
Yeah, he's going to be in your DM.
He was furious. yeah. Okay, well, that's it at 19, Hunter Clade. Possibly controversial.
We'll see.
In at 18, Vet Guard.
Yeah.
I know they're pretty experienced, but they wouldn't be your first, second, third, fourth choice.
Not in their trench coats.
You just wouldn't, I don't think. Similarly, the Blooded, maybe a bit more of a KSE. They've turned to chaos because they're on a space op, maybe.
Yeah, it could be a ship's crew that's gone mad or otherwise.
Maybe. But they're still basically guardsmen, and you wouldn't chuck your guardsmen into this situation unless you had no choice. Then we've got, in at 16, we've got the Warp Coven. Despite having Warp in the title, the Magic Boys,
yeah,
the Illusionists, the David Copperfields of 40K, yeah, they seem like they should be somewhere else. Don't know. Now, and this one breaks my heart. In at 15, Not Space Hulky, the last of the Not Space Hulky teams.
Okay.
Wormblade.
What? But you just had such a good argument for them.
No, because they play rubbish.
That's not in your criteria.
No, and also, I'm clutching a bit to the old Space Hulk idea, get the game Space Hulk idea.
Yes.
With, it would be a complete infestation of gene stealers.
Gene stealers themselves, yeah.
Yeah, and the Wormblade, so hear me out, they are predominantly where large population centres are. Because
mm-hmm.
that's they get sent into a planet, they're trying to convert a whole planet to welcome the Star Children.
Of course.
And so I don't think they'd be your first choice, even as a Tyranid player, to, you know, in the hive mind, it wouldn't bother. If you could send some gene stealers on there. Anyway, that is it. 23 to 15, Not Space Hulky. Okay, so now we're on to Space Hulky.
Space Hulky.
Keep up, everyone. Right. In a 14, Exaction Squad.
Oof.
Okay. They're hunting down the Krims. Now, normally, yep, your OBTs are where other humans are. They're the cops, mostly
of
humans. But this is like your SWAT team. This is your, you know, detective. I've got my own Exaction Squad are going to be the sort of investigative branch of their local OBTs. So this comes under the you're hunting for somebody criteria.
Got it.
And people who don't want to be found, they're on the Space Hulk. That's my reason. So they're
tracking them down.
Just Space Hulky. Then we got your vanilla, we got your can do anything, you got your intercession.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now they'll do any job. There's no job that these guys can't do, probably. But I don't know. It's only because they're so ubiquitous, and you know, let's face it, a bit boring, bit basic. just insulting every Marine player out there. But they think that it wouldn't be out of place to see them on there because they can do everything.
That's such a small team of them as well. Sending six in to get the job, little incision in out.
Yeah, yeah. And if we did include Death Watch, they'd be in the Space Hulky bit, I think.
I'll take that.
Then in at 12, we've got Kazakin. Now you don't send your vet guards. You don't send probably even your scions, but the Kazakin, they're your hit squad. The Navy breaches aren't up for it. Maybe. or you don't trust the Imperial Navy, you send in your Kazakin. So I think that they're just Space Hulky. Alright, now we've got a triplet. The triple threat, if you will, of Eldar factions. We've got Hand of the Archon, Corsairs, Void Dancer Troop. All got a good reason why they'd be on a Space Hulk. Hand of the Archon trying to nick some people.
Always.
And do it on the lowdown. The Corsairs, they're looting stuff. Seems legit. And your Void Dancer Troop, well, who knows what mystery they're solving.
Exactly.
I still think there's a fantastic narrative story about a Void Dancer Troop. One day. Anyway, so, but I think they're all legit, decent reasons for being on a Space Hulk. And then the team I want to like, or I do like, sorry, I don't want to like, I do like, but just not a Necrony person, is the Hero Tech Circle. These Necrons gone rogue. They got a Cryptech in charge. Did a bit of looking up on this. That sounds very cool. Very legit reason why this bloke this metal skinned monster and his troop are out there doing all sorts of nefarious stuff. Seems legit that they're on a Space Hulk to me.
And who knows if within the amalgamation of ships we got like a tomb ship mixed up in everything else, or a royal monolith.
Tomb ship, hell, that was one I was really hoping we'd get terrain for. Bloody hell, imagine one Necron.
Well, that was Pariah Nexus way back when.
Yeah, that was Copter.
Before your time.
Before my time. Wait, before it was good. alright, and then filling out the last Space Hulky space, Far Stalker Kinbend. Alright. Nicking stuff, they're mercenaries, could be working for anybody. I think lots of decent reasons, not least of which there was a heavy bit of lore into the dark box that squarely puts us there. Now, I don't know if you've noticed something so far, but in the not Space Hulky, you'll be pleased to hear there were no Into the Dark teams.
Good.
In Space Hulky, there are a few.
Yep.
Now, before we get on to the Super Space Hulky, do you think I've made any howlers yet?
Kazakin, I can't see. Karskin. They're beefed up humans still. Yeah, you've probably got it right, because they've got about as much right to be there as the RBTs, so.
Although that could be controversial in itself.
Yeah, quite. But no, I'm happy with the Eldar, the crew, the Marines themselves. I think that's a good place.
Okay, right. You ready for the top five?
Limber up. Five more.
Okay, in at five. And we don't know the specific...
We're super space hulky now.
Super space hulky for... just to keep up with the terminology. So in at five, we don't know their exact lore just yet, but the name's giving away a lot, I think. The Halfkin Salvagers. They got Salvagers in the name.
Yep.
Do you remember back a year ago where we had like a cut video of when the squats were announced?
The 2D artwork and they were looking out through the windows of space. I do remember.
That's right. And annoyingly, for me at least, I'm pretty sure there was a Gene Stealer-y limb floating
there
through
was.
A bit. And it did make me think that when they did turn up, that would be their sort of enemy. Anyway.
Their opponents.
Salvagers. They've got a little video. They're nicking stuff.
You can see them with a little blowtorch as well, just to get through the doors like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the fact that they got it in their name gets them into Super Space Hulky. That seems pretty good. All right. In at four... Elucidian Star Striders, the Rogue Traders.
Yep,
I can't. They're totally there, aren't they? These bunch of misfits.
Completely.
Of course, they should be there. It's probably one of their former ships or something, or you know, you can make up.
Need to reclaim some of their assets.
You can make up any story you liked about why they were on a space hulk. Okay, now. Top three. This could have been in any order, but obviously I've put it in an order for the sake of fun. So in at three, Imperial Navy Breachers. This is their job.
Oh, yeah.
This is their bread and butter. This is what they were designed to do. I mean, in any other universe, they'd be the Marines, except, annoyingly, something else is the Marines. But... yeah, these Voidsmen, I think, deserve a top three place. Absolutely. In at two, the Felgor Ravagers, the Beastmen. And I'm putting them there because they really got a touch of the warp about them. So,
yeah,
they might. And they live there. This is their home. Can you be more space hulky than this is your crib?
I worry that their hooves aren't built for mesh flooring. but I'm glad that they've got so much fur, because I bet it's bloody cold. So.
Yeah, got a bit of a rug going on there, haven't they? well, you know, for the bear lovers out there.
They are definitively chaosy, though.
Yeah, anyway, they seemed... pretty absolutely super space hulky to me. But in at number one, the most space hulky, you can't get more space hulky than this. I'll defend this number one spot to anyone. It is one of my least favourite teams.
No.
The Gellipox Infected.
There they are.
Right. They were Imperial guys running ships. Went to the warp. Oh my god, can't get more super space hockey than these guys, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, and when I say I'm just not a big fan of the Nurgle, also I've been pretty crushed.
You're not a Gribbly fan.
I've been pretty crushed by these couple of times.
I think most people have been, so.
Although I would say, even though I was crushed, friend of the show, Nick, I had one of the most atmospheric games I've ever played. Certainly Into the Dark, when his Gellipots Infected were chasing my blooded down corridors
Was it Maze Breakout?
Yeah. It was a rough day at the office for my blooded guys, but for atmosphere and theme, it was perfect. And the fact that it actually ended with him, one of these, a literally named Nightmare Hulk,
yes,
chasing... you know, one of my last remaining guys kind of corridor. Anyway, it's very atmospheric, super space hulky. They did what they're supposed to do. That is the list. What do you reckon?
I it feels like teams are missing, despite the fact that I know that is the whole list. It feels like there's more teams, you know. Gellipox, I agree with, because they're infected with the techno curse, like they're almost part of the Space Hulk itself. I've got visions of them almost like the Pirates of the Caribbean, where the undead can just walk through the sides of the ship.
Yeah.
Just like a... Yeah. I think that's really cool.
I apologize to listeners for the given right. noise there. That's... sorry.
Oh, yeah. Lots of slurping and gurgling when you're around the Gellipox, I think. There, yeah. I think that list is correct and definitive, so I think you've done a really good job there.
However, if you would like to virtually fight me in just words, please write into the show. If anyone wants to fight me in real life, please don't. But that's a bit
it's
of fun.
Just a personal request.
Not the face. So that's our fun bespoke only list of space hulkiest teams. I think that's an interesting way to sort of finish out the second season of Kill Team 21. So what we're calling it. It could be at Warhammer Fest, which I think you're going to.
I'll be representing.
You'll be representing. We'll get an announcement, I think. And it could even be... Could it be Season 3 announcement?
I don't want to get my hopes up.
No, don't.
Because we still don't know enough about the Felgor Ravagers and the Harfkin...
No, it could just be them.
I think we're just going to get more details about them.
That would make sense.
But they could just, you know, it could be Catachan and Tyranids in the jungle.
Yeah. Now, we intentionally do very little speculation on this podcast, partly because we don't know anything. that's a little peek behind the curtain there. And we just don't want to look too stupid. By predicting things that then turn out to be very wrong. But we've got to see... we're definitely going to have to see some new Tyranids.
Yes.
I saw those... I don't know the name very much. The Von Ryan... Height of Ryan in our narrative group. The Von Ryan Leapers.
Yes.
They are absolute monsters. I love them. But I don't know if there'll be a kill.
I hope that they continue that naming scheme for all the Tyranids. Because Tyranids don't name themselves. They're all named after how the Imperial Guard have come across them.
Yeah. And it's not very cool when they have, like, I've forgotten the names, but, you know, like, letters and numbers as species.
Yes.
885. That's not very... trip off the tongue. Are you hoping for a Sean's Burrower or something?
Well, yeah, I think ideally we could have a Sean Shrike. I think a lot of people think we're going to see a Shrike Alpha, which for those who don't know is a Tyranid warrior with wings.
Ooh.
It a bit smaller than a Hive Tyrant, but a bit bigger than a warrior.
We've done on the ground, we've done in corridors. Is it next? We'll have Kill Team flying.
Yeah, exactly. Have we done the Space Hulk board game, and now we're moving on to Aeronautica Imperialis for Season 3 of Kill Team?
That would be pretty good. Anyway, we must get some Tyranids. Well, I wouldn't be shocked if we don't see Terminators, but I also wouldn't be shocked if we don't see Tyranids straight away, because
Yeah, they've got to sell them for Big Hammer first.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, on that positive note of we might not get anything that we want. So I think that about wraps up our space hulkiness segment.
Yeah. On the note of Warhammer Fest, I will be there. I haven't signed up to do the Kill Team tournament, so I'm just going to be walking around kind of soaking everything in. I might cut this out. I have had the bright spark that I might go and ask people who their favourite faction is or what their favourite narrative moment in their games are while they're having their games or just after their games, and just kind of collect an audio scrapbook of the event and catalogue some cinematic moments. So if you spot me, do come and say hi. I don't bite, and I do like drink a cider.
I don't forget, that's Sean, who hasn't done the awful listing in this episode, so you don't have to hit him.
Yes, yeah, so don't fight me either.
No, he's the nice one. No, that sounds great. I love that. I love that idea. We can meet our people, or you can. That sounds really good.
I'll relay it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited.
Ah, sounds good. Right.
Next time. Next time on Once Upon a Kill Team, we'll be looking at how to introduce homebrew characters into your favourite team. Fancy a chaplain for your intercession squad? Or maybe a librarian? We'll have a deep dive into what possible options are at our disposal and reminisce about KT-18 Commander's Edition.
What the hell is that?
Oh, we got to bring all of our favourite HQs, because it was all points-based. We got to bring our HQs and they just took up a larger portion of the team. We'll go into it next time.
If what you heard on this podcast sounds even remotely interesting, subscribe and tell your friends. For every subscription to the podcast, we cram another unlikely band of misfits into a drop pod and fire them towards the Space Hulk. If you have a few spare pennies and would like to support the show, you can do so through Ko-fi. Buy me a coffee. There is a link in the show notes. Once Upon a Kill Team is always going to be free, but any help you can give us goes towards making this podcast better. And big thanks if you do.
Thank you for joining us on Once Upon a Kill Team. Just remember, it's not whether you're won or lost, it's whether your Arbites Castigator throws the cuffs onto an arch enemy of the Imperium and his fellow Arbiter walks up and gives the perp double out shot to the chest. He fell down 17 flights of stairs.
Sounds plausible.
See you next time.